Hey, Starting Nine listeners, you can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
This is your Twisted Kings, Taylor Lewan and Will Compton. Summer is right around the corner.
Nothing is better than grabbing a refreshing Twisted Tea cold on the rocks. It's got 5% alcohol. It is the perfect drink to turn up your summer. And you might be wondering, is this a sponsored ad? Yes. But the truth is, the boys, we love Twisted Tea.
Dude,
go buy it, go drink it, drink responsibly, and tell your boys to buy it as well. Let's have ourselves a hell of a summer. Oh, don't be dumb, drink responsibly.
Twisted Tea Brewing Company, Cincinnati, Ohio. Please drink responsibly.
Episode 230. I got three fillings this morning.
Yeah, what's going on, buddy? Oh, marble mouth. Am I doing this with Marty Mush? Is this Starting Nine with Marty Mush?
Yeah, I got three fillings this morning, and they said that it was going to wear off in a half an hour, and that was an hour and a half ago.
not going so well, Jared. Things not quite working out the way slightly we're going to work out when that Novocaine hits.
Yeah.
It's just a little bit different, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's mostly like my bottom right lip and my tongue that I can't feel right now.
So. Are you afraid to get shots in your mouth?
No.
Can we be in the trust tree right now?
Yeah.
Very sadistic of me, I know this. I fucking love oral pain. Like
what?
I don't know what it is. Like,
wait, so you go raw dog with no Novocaine?
I've gone with no Novocaine. I've also I like the idea of getting shots though. Like it, like the way that like in that little tiny ding. I don't know what it is, dude.
Oh.
Like it doesn't bother me. Like I'm 60-40 excited to get it.
Yeah. I mean I'm definitely not afraid of dental work. Like I don't often get it, but I mean I could have fallen asleep while they were drilling away on my teeth.
Yeah, I don't know that I've never gotten drilled on with no fucking Novocaine. Like,
yeah.
That's just a goddamn psycho.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I've had, you know, like, teeth cleaning and, like, a half of an extraction or whatever.
Yeah, but it's,
nothing major.
Yeah, this isn't terrible, but I mean,
yeah, you're just filling some potholes, that's all.
Yeah.
That's, you know what that is? That's that fucking chicken, some chicken fingers and Dr. Pepper or whatever the hell you're slamming. It's all that residual chalky milk that you've been chugging late night before you go to bed. Ellen wakes up and warms you up some milk. You got to rinse your mouth out.
You know what it is, actually? It's moving to New York for 3 years and neglecting your health the entire time. Like, that's actually what it is. I didn't go.
Oh, come on. You mean to tell me that Barstool doesn't care about your health, Jared? Are you here to tell me that the health plan put forward by Barstool Sports is not up to par?
Yeah, I mean, I think, yeah. I would say it hasn't been handled the best. but, you know, it is what it is. That's someday I'll get health insurance. You know, someday. Yeah,
I'm sure we've got a phenomenal HR department that'll be able to take care of that. No problem. No questions asked.
Yeah.
They'll be able to hook you up. I know. Sure. I know their heart's in the absolute best place.
Right.
I got to tell you something. I got to admit to something here.
Yeah.
I obviously did not have a great opening weekend as far as baseball goes. Didn't have a great opening weekend. What I did just witness, though, was very exciting.
What was that?
Dodgers came into town.
Mm-hmm.
Got a great look at the depth of that squad.
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable lineup. Unbelievable. Like,
they're pretty good.
It's one thing to look at it on paper, and it's one thing to, you know, dive into the numbers at times without actually just watching the human beings play. And that's why I love what I do with the A's so much, is because I get to watch all the shit we talk about unfold in real time. So to watch this Dodger lineup come out and bash and bang from top to bottom. And when I say top to bottom, I mean dudes who weren't playing Friday night that played Saturday and Sunday and Monday. And, you know, like, that wasn't the days that they played. But the point is, like, every day, the lineup they trotted out there from 1 through 9 was rolling the pole and doing it well.
You seem surprised. You seem like you needed to see it to believe it.
No, it's just that special to watch in regards to the depth. Like Zach McKinstry. Do you know who that is when I say that name?
No.
A lot of people don't. No. And I understand why. Because he's the 26th man on the fucking Dodgers. 3 for 3. 3 RBIs. like great quality at bats as well. Like not just getting the knocks, but just little stuff like that. Like fucking Chris Taylor, watching that guy rake, get drilled, run the bases. Like Austin Barnes, all of these guys. And it's not the superstars that impress you. For me, it's watching the little stuff that the other guys, the quote unquote role players, like watching Will Smith handle that staff, watching Will Smith take his at bats. Like I was excited to watch those guys because we know what the Seegers and the Betzes and the Bellies can do. Like watching Edwin Rios, getting a taste of him again in an extended period. Like that dude is fucking real, man. That dude rakes. Dude absolutely rakes.
Yeah. But I mean, like your team stinks. I don't think anyone listening wants to spend a ton of time on your stinky team. No. You needed a Red Sox World Series hero to bail you out of your 0-for in the entire season.
That's just Mitchie Dubsack, a.k.a. Mr. Mitchie Walk Me Off, getting comfortable at home. That's what that is.
Yeah, that's you needing me to get one win out of your season.
No, that's Mitch needing us to get him back on the board, and he's there.
Yeah, I know it's only been six games for some teams so far this season. Has there been a team where you're like, I think that team could be worth watching, but that you didn't expect to be?
I don't know how to... Well, I don't know that this team falls in that category. It's not that they weren't worth watching. I guess it's sort of been the Phillies?
Yeah, that's a good pick. Yeah, I think...
Because they were worth watching. They're worth watching, mm-hmm. but... Surprising to see the quality of success that they've had.
Yeah, against teams that it could have gone either way. It could have been a rough start to the season for the Phillies based on the schedule.
Sure, and it hasn't been. It's been a welcomed. And again, I don't even know, like, surprise isn't the right word because there were these expectations of this club, and it's happening. It's unfolding. So like that was a pleasant, like, all right, this is good. Like, if we're talking about the NL East and what sort of quality ball we're going to get out of this division, this team's got to be good. This team has to compete. And early on, you're liking what you're seeing.
You're not a bad omen guy, are you?
I think you have to be if you believe in good omens. You have to understand that there's
a yin to the yang.
There is. It's not a yin. It's a yin.
Who cares?
You just drop that G on that. I don't want you walking around with your pants down. You know what I mean? So it's a yin to the yang, but you are correct. There are ebbs and there are flows, Jared. There are peaks and there are valleys. To every positive, there's a negative, unless you're a mathematician and two negatives can go on a date and that can be a positive. But you get what I'm saying.
Do you get where I'm going with this?
Are you going to talk about an injury right now?
No.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to talk about the start to a season for a certain team.
Let's hear it.
I mean, there's a lot of excitement around the Mets, was there not?
I mean, there was surrounding in terms of, like, being excited for the season or talking about right now, like what we're seeing right now.
I'm saying that there is obviously a ton of excitement.
Oh, yeah.
With Uncle Stevie coming in, mm-hmm. Lindor coming over, mm-hmm. paying him.
Stroman.
Stroman, Trevor May. And then the season started, and it hasn't gone.
James McCann?
Yeah, I mean, it's we're talking.
They've only played three ball games.
Talking about sample sizes. We're just talking about bad omens. Do you believe in them?
Yes.
So where do you think the Mets season goes? Like, is this something where it's like by August, September, we're not even thinking about the way that the Mets season started?
No, but what's the bad omen here? Just the, like I
delayed start.
That's not their doing.
No,
that's
but bad doing. Omens never are. That's but, not no, omens like, are not something that you can control. They're just something that happens that maybe sends you a message of negativity.
But that message of negativity wasn't delivered to the Mets on their doorstep. That was delivered to the Nats on their doorstep. The Mets just deal with the backlash. So it's not their
part
omen.
Of it. Like, did they have positive tests? No. But was their season delayed by COVID? Yes.
But that's I'm not saying that's okay, but in terms of an omen, that has nothing to do with the Mets not taking care of business in any way. So if you're talking about the Mets specifically, like the way the Mets have been talked about in the past, you can't put this on. I'm with you. I would love to be able to start that little fire. You can't. They didn't do any of this.
Oh, I don't want to start any of their doing. I want to see them do well.
So then the omen is not theirs. They are bad omen free in my mind right now. They are bad omen free.
Okay.
The bad omen would be on the Nats' doorstep, not the Mets.
Okay.
Not the Mets.
Mets. I mean, Nats have already had a walk-off win, Juan Soto.
That's great. This just makes the story for the Mets better. Should things go the way that they want them to go?
I hope they go.
Remember, we got off to a little bit of a rocky start. It was a slow start. We only played 3 games in the first week. Like, there were questions. You'll be able to beat that drum later down the road.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of beating up drums, Akil Baddoo.
Wow.
This dude is a Rule 5 guy. Gets the chance to just absolutely throttle his former team right out the gate. Homers on the first pitch that he sees as a big leaguer. Then he hits a grand slam.
So good.
He's got a walk-off hit.
So good.
And then he triples. And I believe he threw someone out as well. So this dude's just checking every bingo square that you've got in the first week of not just the season, but of his big league career.
So think about all those things you just said and the excitement that come along with all of those things happening, right? You hit your first big league home run. Fans know it. That's great. You do it in that fashion. That's the cherry on top. Mom and dad in the stands losing their mind, him pointing to them. That's as good as that moment gets. Yeah. Storybook. Our son just went deep. First pitch he saw in the show. We're all here to enjoy that together. That is magical. The next day, the dude hits a grand slam. Like the biggest single individual home run you could hit without it like getting your team to the playoffs or walking off or whatever. Grand slam. Monster. And then he fucking hits a walk-off.
Yeah.
Then he hits a walk-off knock. These are dreams realized that are dreamt over the entire course of a childhood, over the entire course of your minor league lifetime. Like, Jared, I can tell you times where you are in a Best Western hotel counting the roaches in the corner, just dreaming of the day that you get to the big leagues and get to have these kind of moments and to have all of that shit unfold in a matter of like 96 hours is bananas. Like, I don't know that the adrenal glands can handle that. Are you shitting me? It's everything that you would want.
Where would you rank him in terms of the best stories to start the year so far? Because you obviously have another one that happened last night we can talk about. Trey Mancini's back on opening day. You have Jameson Taillon taking the mound for the first time in 2 years after all that he's been through. And then you have the Baddoo story.
I said this 2 seconds into finding out that Trey was going to be back on the diamond. Congratulations. That's your AL Comeback Player of the Year. It's going to be the best story in baseball to follow along just because he's a great guy. You would love for him to be able to put all of that behind him and just enjoy the season. And regardless of what the O's are going to do, you just want to see Trey play baseball with a smile on his face and do so with his health intact.
Yeah.
When you get to like outside of the heartfelt shit like that, then yeah, I think Baddoo is a great story because it's not often that Rule 5 guys come up and stick and make that impact and grab your attention the way he has. Typically, some of these Rule 5 guys are arms that you can kind of tuck away and expose in safe spots in a ball game. Up a few, down a few. You're not really putting a ton of responsibility on the shoulders of these guys. Akil Baddoo is going to be in the lineup daily, raking, making shit happen as a Rule 5 guy.
Yeah.
Remember that. You were in the fucking minor leagues last year, and big league clubs got together for a powwow and were like, hey, you guys got some players that you're not interested in protecting? So do we. Let's put them in a pool and see who wants them. We like Baddoo, that dude. Let's go, and we're off. And his minor league life is behind him now, and it's big league central. Let's go. It's showtime.
Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to think of like Rule 5 guys that have actually come back to just bite a team in the ass. Like Johan Santana was a Rule 5 guy, I think, for the Twins, right?
I have no idea.
I want to say who had him first, like the fucking Astros or something like that. Johan Santana. Ooh, he debuted on my birthday. Johan Santana. Can you think of a Rule 5 guy that really just got swooped up by another team and like the other team was like, why the fuck did we protect that guy?
No, I haven't given any thought to that as well. I mean, and I think that's probably just because maybe a Rule 5 guy hasn't had that big, huge splash or whatever it is to, you know, I don't know. And probably because I probably got a terrible memory when it comes to that shit. Like Rule 5 impact guys. I don't have a long list.
Yeah, he was a Rule 5 guy. Okay, so he signed with the Astros as a free agent in 95. And then in 99, the Marlins drafted him in the Rule 5. Yeah, got him in the Rule 5 draft. And then they traded him to the Twins.
And he stuck in the big leagues all year. Because remember, you don't stick, you got to go back.
Right. Yeah. So he was a Rule 5 guy, but it wasn't the Twins who got him. Yeah, the Marlins also fucked that one up.
Yeah, because he did pitch in the big leagues with the Marlins, right?
I don't believe so, no.
No. No.
Yeah, he made his big league day. He pitched with the Minnesota Twins in 2000. Had a 6.49.
Yeah, so like I'm thinking, when I think that, I think, all right, Rule 5, you've come up, and now, boom. It's not like, yeah, Johan Santana, Rule 5 guy, but the back end, not the back end, but the latter part of his career is what you're excited about.
Yeah.
With Johan, not his Rule 5
year. Yeah, not like day one he threw his fucking 170 pitch no hitter or whatever it was.
Right. No. Yeah. Post capsule surgery. Yeah. No, that's not it. This is Akil Baddoo having 96 hours in the big leagues and having already accumulated a first pitch homer, a grand slam, mm-hmm. a walk off knock, defensive gem.
And
like that's what we're talking about.
And a triple that the broadcast called a stand-up triple, even though he could not have slid harder into third base.
So just to kind of put a bow on what I was saying about all those things that he's achieved, the excitement surrounding all of those things, dude, like those are other reasons why you grab the game's attention. Because the triple's one of the most exciting plays in baseball.
Yeah, it is.
Love watching it.
Yeah. Starting Nine Reddit is going to hate this one. Let's talk about Shane Bieber, baby.
Woo! Dial it up.
Dozen strikeouts for the Biebs against the Kansas City Royals. What's that? Back-to-back starts with 12 strikeouts. He goes 6 1/3, 3 hits, 2 earned runs, 4 walks. Can't have that. Biebs. Come on.
Got to tighten that up, Biebs. Got to tighten that up.
12 punchies, though. And I think, Joe Ram went deep twice? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
12 punchies and only 6 1/3 and 4 walks. So you cut 2 of those walks down and you probably got yourself another inning or so.
Yeah. The Cincinnati Reds
are not fucking
They're
around.
Not here to play. I mean, like Tyler Naquin, Nick Castellanos, Jesse Winker, even fucking Aquino got in on it. He hit one. I think he made it like 11-3 at that point.
The Castellanos. Can we just get into that?
Yeah, let's do that.
I love every minute of it.
Of course.
Love every minute of it. Like, you mean to... I just...
Well, do you think... let me ask you this. Because I was getting called out behind closed doors about a take I had. Okay. I think that they threw at him on purpose. And I had Cardinals fans losing their fucking minds. Like, first of all, I don't know why, as a Cardinal fan, you would be that resistant to believe that, like, your team would throw at someone for celebrating or whatever if they rub you the wrong way. I mean, let's not pretend
because
like Nick Castellanos.
Because of who the Cardinals fans
are. Sure. That's why. Sure. But, like, let's not pretend like Nick Castellanos is one of the most liked players. Like, I feel like he's got beef with like a lot of people. It's not like he's got this clean reputation and there's no way that they would ever throw at him or like that, whatever. So Nick Castellanos homers on opening day, and he's trotting up the line. He flips the bat. I mean, like, that's what he does. He's fun. I like what Nick Castellanos does. And then he gets lit up by a rookie, and their argument was, well, he wasn't involved in the home run on opening day, and he's got control issues, and he's a rookie. Why would he do that? And I use the example. Matt Busch was not on the Texas Rangers when Jose Bautista hit the home run in 2015, and he flipped the bat. 2016, he fucking drills him for it. I mean, it was his second big league appearance ever.
That
he wasn't on the team.
Defense.
It's what?
The most tired defense ever.
That he has nothing to do with it?
Right. Like, yeah. Let me explain something to you.
That's how you earn your stripes.
Thank you. That's part of coming to the team. How do you become a part of the team? If shit like that's going to happen and your number gets called and you execute the request, that's the, sort of the, okay, yeah, he's riding with us.
Yeah.
That's our guy. He's our guy now. He's our team. And that's how that goes, man. Right. Like it or not. I don't give a shit if you like it or not. You want to know how it goes? That's how it goes.
Right. My whole chin is fucking numb. I could get punched in the face right now and not even feel it. Like this.
I would try. I'd do it for you.
Yeah.
Tell me.
God damn. They told me a half an hour. It's been like 2 hours. I'm starting to get concerned. Anyways. But yeah, I mean, I made the example. I basically poked holes in every argument that they had. I was like, it doesn't matter if he was on the team. I mean, it doesn't matter if he was directly involved in the home run. It doesn't matter if he's a rookie. Like, none of these things matter. Like, these things happen. And, you know, Castellanos comes around and scores, and he posts up in Woodford's face, and he flexes on him and gets a 2-game suspension for this. I don't get it. I don't get, like, I understand, like, when you had the suspensions for other, like, bench-clearing incidents where, like, you know, the Ramon Laureano. Okay, that's, like, he charged at someone. Like, that's, like, you're instigating actual violence. In this case...
Time out.
What?
That's where you got to stop. And that's where, if you're paying attention to how punishment has been levied from Uncle Manfred's office, this makes total sense. If you're if you step back and look at that situation you just pointed out, then you're going to go, oh, shit, you're right, Dallas. Proceed. Because Cintron is the one who wore the biggest suspension.
Right.
And Cintron was essentially the kid on the playground who threw the first punch by inciting Ramon Laureano.
Sure.
And having him charge him. So it wasn't the pitcher, it wasn't the rookie who started this in Manfred's office's mind. It was Nick Castellanos who incited this, who threw that first proverbial punch on the playground and flexed on the pitcher at home plate. From there, the reaction to what Castellanos did unfolds. And when the dust settles, Castellanos is the one getting punished. So if you just listen to that right there, it makes total sense. Just coming from this administration.
Cintron was more of a, hey, come get some.
Whereas
Castellanos was more of like,
I'm celebrating.
Like, if you choose to, like, a physical confrontation because I flexed, that's not the same thing as Cintron being like, hey, come fight me. Like,
I'm not telling you that you're wrong, and I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm merely giving you the inside track on how this administration views these things.
Yeah, they're saying there's no,
like,
scrum if Castellanos doesn't flex.
That's it. And that's it. And so if you are an administration trying to shut this all down, especially, and you got to remember, how quickly have we forgotten the whole pandemic protocol that's still in place? So on top of not wanting a benches clearing brawl to begin with, you definitely don't want a benches clearing brawl amidst a global pandemic that has already seen one series this season be postponed and delayed. So all of that going into this decision again, it's very, very clear why they went this direction. That does not mean I agree with it. That does not mean it's okay. That doesn't mean I don't understand everything you just said. I'm just the other side of the coin telling you why it's happening this way. And from there, we can move on and all agree that it's horseshit. That's okay. Now we can agree that it's terrible. No doubt. Like, you mean to tell me that the dude that gets drilled and then comes up and does exactly what you're supposed to do, hits the homer, flexes, that's his fault? Mm. No. What? Come on. They're letting the guys in the NFL celebrate these days. Why? Because you just understand that in the face of competition, when you achieve the end game, you can celebrate. Feel free. Let it out. Let it out. But you're circumcising the game like this.
Yeah. I think it's more like I get the whole pandemic layer to it where it's like, yeah, we can't have these guys like mixing it up or whatever, but it's like, give me a fucking break, dude. Like, there was no fight. There's nothing. Like, it's right. Move the fuck on. Like, that's yep. A warning situation. That's not, and maybe he suspends it and like they're gonna knock it down to a game. Like, it should be zero games. It should be zero. Zero fucking games.
Yeah.
But
like, I would love to even see it but the pandemic stuff that's real. Like, it's still on the books. It's still something you have to consider. So if that's the case, you just have to know that how you might have reacted, what you might have done in years past, is going to be viewed and looked at a little differently.
I also saw someone had a stat. I can't remember exactly what the numbers were. Maybe I do. But everyone was kind of like, well, is this Reds offense for real, or is it just the fact that they're playing the Pirates? And you looked at the numbers that the Reds put up against the Pirates, and then you looked at the numbers that the Cubs put up against the Pirates, and the Reds had scored like 500 more runs than the Cubs against the Pirates. So, I mean, yes, that is a factor. Dallas, I'm sorry. The Pirates aren't very good. But, I mean, no one else is putting up the offensive numbers that this team is. They've scored 57 runs in the 6 games that they've played this year. And they scored 11, 11-3? Yeah, they beat the fucking doors off the Pirates. It was 11-4.
It's enough.
Yeah, it was something. It was something to behold. Naquin's already got 4 homers for a dude. I mean, he's... Tyler Naquin has as many home runs as Nick Castellanos right now. So
they are raking.
Did you see the home run that Moose hit the other night?
No.
Oh my God.
I haven't seen the whole thing. I've seen video clips.
Yeah. Yeah, he put a fucking hurting. He put a hurting on
that Reds? What's the Reds' run differential right now? Like fucking 30? 40?
They've got to be close to like plus 30 already.
31
plus 31.
That's a joke.
Yeah, there. You look around the league right now, and
the Dodgers are a plus 15 right now.
Dodgers are plus 15. I mean, who else is even close? The Reds are a plus 31.
Nobody's even close.
The Astros are close because the A's are fucking terrible. The Astros are plus 27.
Yeah. So that was a rough 4 days, bud. Rough 4 days.
I mean, the Red Sox are plus 4.
I mean, a large portion of those runs could be handed to one individual, too. But we don't need to go there.
Sure. But, I mean, the Astros, the only reason why the Astros are in the same conversation as the Reds in terms of run differential is because the A's are fucking brutal.
It's just because the A's had a bad opening week. That's all.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
Yeah, no, that was bad. But that's fine. I mean, I think that the Reds offense is legit. I'm not going to be like, yeah, that it was just the Pirates. I think that they're very legit. Obviously, Tyler Naquin isn't going to lead the National League in home runs. But, I mean, you look up and down that lineup, pretty fucking good. A lot of guys that can do a lot of damage there.
I do need to talk about something else with the A's Dodgers, though.
What? Oh, are you talking about the ball getting taken out of play?
That and the individual that surrounds as well.
Okay. What do you got?
Yeah, first inning. Umpires pull a ball from the outing of Trevor Bauer.
Hmm.
We don't know what's going to come of that. no idea if this is something that they're doing league-wide to every pitcher.
I tell you what, Dallas, doesn't seem random. This doesn't seem like a random airport check. This seems very much like a you talk too much. So
yeah, so just kind of interesting on how that's going to continue to unfold. And yeah, I just, oh man, it didn't set well with me. But I understand what's going on. I can understand that. But let's get to the ball game, because when we started talking about this series, I don't know how many of these games anybody gave the A's a chance to win. Regardless of what the starting pitching could have done, it just never felt like the A's were ever going to be in a position to win one of these ball games from the outside looking in, hearing fans talk about it. And we even talked about this, myself and Dave Stewart. And I said this. I felt like Clayton Kershaw, and Stu also felt the same way, was going to be their best opportunity to win one of these ball games. And that was just because you don't have a left-handed heavy lineup. You've got some righties that can bang lefties. You got some lefties that can swing it well against lefties. And just in terms of stuff, the least electric stuff out of this rotation. And that wasn't the case. Kershaw absolutely fucking carved, continued his run of dominance against the Oakland A's, actually logged his first decision in his career against the Oakland A's, though he had faced him plenty before. Dustin May was wipeout as well. And then Trevor Bauer took the mound. Didn't quite work out the same way for Trevor Bauer. It was fun to watch because I got to watch him go to work and watch his business approach, his business plan, if you will. Being the fan of sequencing that I am, I noticed some very interesting things very early on with him on how he goes about his business. And if you just look at the numbers, he's somebody who the numbers tell you the story. They really and truly do. Pitch selection, counts, right, left. So it was fun to watch, but it also got me thinking, like, I wonder how much folks really pay attention to these kind of numbers and what to expect and how a guy goes about his business. Because it was, you know, if you're a pitcher, if you're someone or a catcher at home, like, watch Trevor Bauer's games simply for the ability to play along, follow along pitch to pitch.
You, I feel like, because I watch these A's games and I tune into the A's broadcast, which, you know, you get the option to pick one or the other, although I do enjoy the Dodgers broadcast. But you being on the A's broadcast, I didn't catch what your reaction was in real time to the ball being taken out of play. Was that something that you realized at the time, or did you not even know? Like, did you? Because I mean, like, there must be to the viewer at home some sort of confusion of like, are they authenticating that baseball? Are they taking it out? Like, how in the moment do you know that that's what they're taking it out of play for?
You have to decide between those two things that you just mentioned. Is this being authenticated? No. Why? Because I know what those authenticators, I know the authenticators.
Yeah.
So I know the process. I know what would be happening right then and there. And it just looks different. And then when the umpires meet and the managers meet separately and you're, well, then you start to put it together. Then you start to realize, oh, okay, this is what's going on. Guys are pointing at the baseball, you know, and that's a lot of stuff that the cameras aren't catching, but that's stuff that I get to see unfold right there because of the seat that I have. And I can hear the conversations. I hear the complaints. The umpires getting bitched at. The umpires turn around and yelling at the managers. Like, I hear all that. And so,
what's that conversation sound like?
Well, what do you mean? Like, what are you asking? Like, that specific conversation?
Yeah.
There was no, it was just a, like, it was more about, hey, what are we doing? What the fuck's going on? Hey, what are we doing? You know, and that's, you're asking why is the ball getting thrown out? Why the delay in the game here? What's the meeting about? Because anytime one manager meets with the umpires for whatever reason, the other manager wants to know what y'all were just talking about. Right. Hey, what are you guys talking about? I want to know. FOMO, right? Like, right. Hey, what are you telling them that I don't know that I want to know right now? I don't know what I want to know, but I want to know it. If you're letting him know it, I want to know too.
Yeah.
That's the vibe. But there was no, like, there wasn't any aggression. There was no animosity. It was sort of like a, I think we all understand that this is going to be a thing.
Hmm. And so, like you said, that it didn't sit well with you. Is it because, like, why? I mean, like, Bauer is a guy that obviously,
because this is their way of trying to police the game. And like, straight up, if I throw a pitch and I get a strike and it feels good and you want that ball out for whatever reason, like, I've got a problem with that. Now you're fucking with my game flow. If I throw a ball in the dirt and you want that out, no problem. I get it. The potential for the scuff. You don't want me throwing a scuffed ball. Get it out of there. But if I'm just throwing pitches and we're going to start taking baseballs at random, like, you're messing with the game flow and you're like, well, Dallas, all it takes is a second to throw that ball out. You're right. But what you do is you're now instilling a thought process into competition that didn't exist in the moment. Meaning, you've got Trevor Bauer out there trying to execute his game plan, and now you've got the home plate umpire taking a ball out, and Trevor Bauer's going, hold on, why did he just take that ball out? Oh my God, did he take it out because they think I'm fucking cheating now? And now that is a mindset. That is a thought that is permeating in the game and in that competitor's head. And Why is that happening? And that's what I mean by messing with the game flow. So I can understand the need or the desire to try to police this. That's why I laughed at the idea that it was going to be policed. Is because if you're now messing with game flow in an effort to police this, you're quite literally involving yourself in the game.
Right.
To police this.
Do you think that, like, where do you think that call comes from? Like, because do you think that
it could very well come from a hitter? It could come from the other manager. It could come from the umpires just knowing that that's something they're going to do every time this dude takes the mound.
Yeah.
It could come from a lot of different places. Yeah. Just, I mean, because we've seen managers a la John Farrell, who was like, oh God, really? I don't want to have to tell you to look at Pineda's neck, but can you fucking please look at his neck? He's basically doing pine tar shots on the mound out there. And we're just not going to say anything, like, we have to at this point. Like, guys don't want to do that. You don't want to be that tattletale-ass manager or, you know, whatever. You know, get into October, fuck, gloves are off.
Right, right. Yeah, I'm more interested in the process behind it, and I feel like a lot of us don't really know the answers to all this right now because I feel like there's no exact system in place. I don't think that... If a ball gets taken out of play, Trevor Bauer's on the mound. Like, I don't think that's Bo Mel being like, hey, check this guy. I think it's the umpire using his own discretion, or it's someone from the league being like, hey, when Bauer takes the mound, sometime in his next first three starts, like, I want a baseball. Doesn't matter when, just get me a baseball.
Well, and that's like, you know, it would be something where you say, all right, after Bauer throws a snapdragon, like he throws a hellacious curveball or just an absolutely filthy cutter, grab that ball. Maybe that's what the umpires are saying. Because you see the action on that ball, the spin on that ball.
Yeah.
All right, give me that ball. Like, and that's what's like, it's like, shit, man, are we serious? Like, if it's a witch hunt is what it feels like.
Yeah.
Because are they doing that? Do they have that moment in time picked out? Is that a game plan that they have set in place for every pitcher out there? At some point in time, they're going to be yanking a ball from every pitcher that has an outing to see who, you know, like, if you got a reliever comes, you got five relievers that come in for a ball game. Are you taking a ball from each one of their innings, denoting it and attaching it to their name, and then analyzing it later and determining whether or not they were doctoring the baseball? What if I throw a pitch inside that blows the guy up? Gets pine tar on the bat. That ball stays in play. The next pitch, I throw a hellacious curveball, and you get the pine tar from homeboy's handle on the ball, and you think that I am the one that loaded that up. How does that work? Now I've got to defend myself, and I can't. What am I going to tell you? Go back and look at the tape. I blew up so-and-so. That ball stayed in play, and then you decided to take that same ball out. It's like, that's what I'm going to have to do to defend myself?
All this when they could just legalize it, which is insane. Like, they're going through all this.
When it's already legal. Stop doing that. Stop perpetuating this thought that pine tar is somehow illegal. It is illegal in terms of you wanting pitchers to not be allowed to use pine tar to doctor the baseball. Pine tar is allowed in the game of baseball.
But you know that the best of the best are not just using pine tar. We talked about that last episode.
Right. Well, that's so there's a difference between pine tar.
Right. And I think that the best of the best are for sure. I mean, like, we know this. We know that guys are using a substance that is
concocted.
Yeah,
substance.
It's a fucking man-made Walter White motherfucking pine tar.
Right. There's a difference. There's a difference, man.
Yeah,
there just is.
There sure is. I think it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. I don't know. Like, what type of reaction do you think there would be from a fan standpoint if Trevor Bauer is the guy that the league tries to make an example out of when all along? Like, I think, you know, for as many haters as Trevor Bauer has, I think when his whole point, he was just trying to expose it. Like, he was trying to help in a way. I mean, like, obviously he benefited in a great way. You walk away with a Cy Young Award in 2020. But before that, you look at the spin rates. He wasn't using it. Like, he wasn't using a sticky substance.
This is how this would unfold. And let me know where you sit on this. Hi. Hey, guys. I'm Trevor Bauer. Just want to inform you that there is the ability to create more spin by using the shit that I believe these guys are using here. Okay? Okay, Trevor, thanks for that, man. Appreciate that. And then there's not much attention paid to it. And now Trevor Bauer continues to beat that drum, and there's not much attention paid to it. And then Trevor Bauer tells you that he's going to give you an opportunity in real time to see the difference.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes out and does that and provides you with a data source to be able to compare what he's been telling you to what's happened. Okay, Trevor, not going to pay much attention to that either, though. We'll just keep it moving. Trevor Bauer wins a Cy Young, and now you're pulling baseballs out of Trevor Bauer's outings.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That sped up fairly quickly. We went from not giving a damn about what Trevor Bauer was saying to now Trevor Bauer's winning Cy Youngs and we're pulling baseballs from his outings.
Right. And he too.
How did we get here?
To the best of our knowledge, that's the only player that has had a baseball pulled from their start
that I paid attention to, that I saw like that. But again, I've watched only A's Dodgers, only A's Astros games. I didn't see them yank any other balls from anybody else's outing that caught the attention the way that did.
Yeah, I haven't seen anything on Twitter or any of the games that I've been watching. I haven't seen like a broadcaster mention that. I mean, like, it's hard to pick it up if you're not at the ballpark. Like, balls get taken out of play all the time.
But that stuff, and like those meetings in between innings, you know, you're watching a commercial for Canada Dips. You're not watching the umpires have their conversations with managers in the dugouts and outside of the field. You know, like that's not what you're seeing.
Right. Do you have a commercial for Canada Dips?
I don't have a commercial for Canada Dips. It's a fucking lifesaver, bro.
Yeah.
I just drove 6 hours, by the way, after watching the A's walk off the Dodgers. I got in my car and immediately drove 6 hours so that I would be here in time to do our podcast together.
Look at you.
And you want to know what helped? Because I got a fucking balky knee when it comes to flooring the pedal, doing 110 down the I-5. Holla! Safely, with no traffic around.
Of course.
Daylights as well. A little CBD rally lipper, bud. I don't have to pull over. I don't have to worry about aching. No. Couple lippers in. Boom! Straight shot through the grapevine. Knee feels great. Back feels great. Sitting on my fat ass wallet all the way to the fucking bay. Don't have to worry about that either, Jared. Because the rally lipper keeps me calm. It's beautiful. It is such a beautiful thing to be able to, one, know that I have completely put a god-awful habit behind me in throwing that tobacco in my lip, and I am now benefiting from a habit that once had me in the mirror scared to death to look at my lip, like, on a daily basis. Like, I don't want to look at it now. It's going to be red, raw, white bumps. I know what's coming. Fuck that. Not going to the doctor. Nope. You know what you do? You throw in another lipper and it'll be fine. It'll go away. That's not the case. It doesn't go away. So you got to find a different way to go about it. That's where Canadip's CBD pouches come into play, homie. Rally lippers, that's going to get you 20% off the site. If you haven't already gone to CanadipsCBD.com and used the promo code RALLYLIPPERS and gotten your 20% off, that's what you need to do right the fuck now. You don't have to worry about popping a pill. That's how I look at this thing. I'm not a pill guy. I have holes in my stomach and I deal with a bunch of bullshit from all the pills that I was taking just so I could go up there and slop up 86 on the mound and try to get an out. Those days are long gone. I don't have to put my body through that anymore. Enter the CBD train. Enter the Rally Lipper Lifesaver. That's what they should be called, fucking Rally Lifesavers. My God. Not only because they are saving my lip, but they also taste fucking phenomenal. Tangy citrus, little mango action. I know some folks are OGs. I want the mint. I want the winter. We got you dialed in too. No big deal. Anything you want, they got you locked in. You got to get that Cali roll in your life. That gets you a whole bevy of flavors to dive into. So please, do yourself the favor. Do your partner the favor. And honestly, ladies, if you're listening to this, you got a man in your life, you got a homie in your life that you're like, hey, buddy, you look like an absolute clown show with that massive fucking lip and all that shit hanging off the side. Throw this pouch in. It'd be so much better. Please. CanadipsCBD.com. Promo code RALLYLIPPERS. 20% off. And we're going to get a pouch of the Humboldt County in your can. Got that? Enjoy.
Ooh. I'm enjoying the fact that Fernando Tatis Jr. will not need surgery.
That was exciting to hear.
Yeah, it was rough to watch. I mean, like, the video is fucking hard to watch. I thought for sure that was going to be... I mean, it still could be, honestly. It still could be some... I don't want to say lengthy, but you never know with that thing. That's one of those things that could just pop up right back again. They're going to be careful with this.
You're hearing lengthy, and you also hear Jace Tingler talk about, hey, he could be back after the 10 days, you know, like depending on how the rehab and rest and blah, blah, blah goes. The one thing that I took note of was the conversation that AJ Preller had, and he said, we're going to have to at some point have that talk.
Mm-hmm.
That talk being how Fernando Tatis Jr. plays the game. A lot of head first slides, a lot of crazy positions he puts his body in, but that's how you avoid some of these crazy tags. Give yourself a little life, give your team a little life. You do crazy shit like that. And this isn't anything new. You hear it with quarterbacks in the NFL. You got to learn how to slide. Running backs, you got to learn how to fall, how to take impact. Same thing here. That's the same thing. You've got to learn how to keep yourself on the field. So you got to find that happy medium between playing the game with your hair on fire and being able to stay healthy. Like, for instance, Matt Olson for the Oakland A's, not on the IL right now, down and out. Why? Slid in to the wall, down 8, late in the ball game after a foul ball that he was not going to catch. Do you want to tell Matt Olson to tuck that in and not give you that effort? I'm not going to tell him that. I appreciate the hell out of that. So that's a tough spot to be. How that conversation goes, what it looks like afterwards, what sort of brand of baseball we see Tatis put forth after this, I think that's more of an interesting topic. I think that's something to pay attention to, because you can't continue to finish the way he does, knowing what the end result can be now, and think that you're just going to be okay. You got to make an adjustment.
Yeah, I mean, like, the conversation is very clearly had with Mike Trout in Anaheim. Like that.
Oh, and they told him, you're not diving, guy.
Yeah.
You're going to play 20 feet back, and you're going to take doubles away, and you're going to take homers away if you can get there. The whole sliding and diving for shit in front of you?
No.
We're fucking out on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, we'd rather have you out there for 150 plus than, and the whole thing with Tatis is that I feel like that conversation is much easier to have with a guy like Mike Trout than it is with a Tatis. Like, I feel like it's just in his blood, in his DNA, that he's just going to play that game, because, you know, that's one of the biggest parts of it, is that he's that type of player that's going to, he's going to dive around. He's going to elude tags. He's just going to play with that tenacity that is just, it is who he is. That's how he's always been. Well, it's going to be very hard to just flip that switch and turn it off.
And that's what's going to be tough about it, is also because that's who he's been billed as.
Yeah.
Right? That's who he's been sold as. Like, now you're telling the guy who's been anointed as the face of baseball because of the electricity, because of the performances that we've seen on the field, the jaw-dropping homers, because of all of that, the video game shit, like, all of it has gone into Fernando being the dude that he is in baseball. And now you're going to ask that dude to throttle down? Mm. You're going to ask him to take a step back and chill out? It's like, holy shit, what are we getting ourselves into here?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I don't know how receptive he'll be to it, but I mean, I don't know that it's really a discussion. Do you want to play or not? Like, do you want to stay healthy or not? Do you want to justify your contract or not? So, well,
and that's the thing, is he's already missed time, and there's no denying, like, the early history here, right? He's had hammy issues, he's had back issues, and you want to see this dude on the field. So if it's a matter of cutting down the finish on a swing and miss, please, let's be receptive. Let's figure out a way to get you on the field 600 ABs plus.
We just had Cody Bellinger on the podcast. Was it last week? This week? I don't even fucking remember. Was that last episode?
Yeah, last week. Last week.
Yeah, I don't know what day. What day is today? Today's Thursday. Yeah, he had the calf injury. He's going to be day-to-day. He's going to be day-to-day with the calf. Which is good.
Saw this in live action. Very scary, to be honest. Thought it was an Achilles.
Yeah, you never want to see that. Mike Soroka, actually, he's got the shoulder inflammation, which is not great.
No, that's not good either.
No, you don't want that. So this fucking sucks. This next one sucks. George Springer has a quad injury while rehabbing the oblique. I mean, obviously none of us can relate to this feeling, but, you know.
No, I can.
No.
Because I blew out my fucking groin on the mound coming back from shoulder surgery.
Not what I was going to say. I was going to say, being with the Houston Astros, right, and he's a genuinely good dude. Genuinely good dude, and got caught up in some shit in Houston. Okay. So now he's getting booed. Now he's getting hate on social media. You probably feel like a real big asshole. And you leave the organization for a monster contract. Like, you got paid. You got paid. And now you get that relief of, like, I don't have to put on that Astros uniform anymore. I feel like maybe this is a new chapter for me. People will give me a second chance because I'm not still in Houston, but I just got paid and I want to be able to live up to that. And there's a lot of excitement around this team. And I'm a big part of that excitement coming over here. And to just be like, all right, well, now I'm rehabbing, and now I have an injury that's separate from what I was just rehabbing. Like, that's got to be really fucking frustrating to want to start that new chapter, and it's just one thing after the next.
It's a grind. It's the worst possible feeling ever, and compounded by it being a new club.
Mm.
That's the worst, is because to deal with the injuries is one thing. To deal with the injuries on a new team is a completely different thing. Now think about having an injury, coming back, and then injuring yourself again. That's like the Mount Rushmore of shitty positions to be in as a new player, because you haven't done anything. You have already showed them, like, oh, fuck, is it going to be injury prone? Like, is this going to be something that's happening? No. I'll be fine. Are you? Because you just got hurt again rehabbing. And those are the thoughts that are in the player's mind. Like, come on, man. Like, I just need to get out on the field so I can show them what I can do. Why is this happening? It's a mental anguish that I would not wish on anyone. And it's tough because George Springer is supposed to be, I'm not saying the savior by any means, because they like their club. He's supposed to be a guy that helps get them over the hump.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's, I don't like, I think cornerstone is probably too aggressive, but I mean, he's kind of like that dude that legitimizes what they already had. Like they go from being like the baby Jays to like, hey, we've got a great mix here. We've got, and it's not just like the aging veteran. It's like a veteran that's still in his, albeit the back end, but his prime years, like a star player, plus these guys that are coming into their own. So he may not be the cornerstone player there, but he's definitely the guy that legitimizes what they're trying to build.
Yes, and it's unfortunate when that guy goes down, because that could be the leader in the clubhouse, not only from a production standpoint, but from an emotional standpoint as well. And right now he can't do either.
Yeah. I was surprised when I saw that the Arcia trade rumors. And I was like, why is Arcia getting traded this early? And you had, like, I think everyone's mind immediately went to the Padres. It's like, oh fuck, so the Brewers are gonna flip a shortstop. I wonder where he's gonna go. This has to do with I think it was the day after the Tatis injury. So immediately that's where my mind went, is this is bad news for Tatis. He's going, like, they immediately tried to trade for a shortstop. But it ends up that it's the Braves. Arcia going to the Braves. What was your reaction to that? Because, you know, obviously Dansby Swanson is that dude. You've got Ozzie Albies.
Depth.
Yeah.
Depth. But like, you can add this kind of depth right now in that division. You do that. You absolutely do that, right? Because Dansby was banged up, wasn't he, last year?
Yeah, I mean, but that was like also like a breakout year for him. Like, I, from a depth idea, yes, yes. But I don't know. When I was in Milwaukee, people were talking about Arcia, like he was just one little tinker away from becoming Javi Baez over there.
Yeah, but they got the kid Urias. I'm not sure how they pronounce his name specifically. And I'm sorry if I'm butchering that, but Luis Urias is their guy. And that's what Council said, is this is it. This is a commitment. That's what this represents. We move a guy like Arcia, this is a commitment to the future, to Urias at shortstop. He's earned it. It's time to let him know that he's earned it. It's time to give him an opportunity to entrench himself and own this spot. So I think that's what that's about more than anything, is you just feel like the opportunity and the time is now for one of your younger guys. The Braves found an opportunity to secure some depth. It's a trade that works out for both teams. A couple arms are going to the crew, and that is what it is. You get some help in the bullpen for the crew. You get some depth added to that lineup for the Braves, and everybody wins.
I just this wasn't in the rundown, but because I have integrity, since we're on the topic of the Braves, Dallas, notice anything?
Ronald Acuna Jr.
That's not where I was gonna go there.
Oh, what are you talking about? I was talking about Ronald Acuna Jr. listening to Stay Hot.
He did, and Freddie Freeman. Basically, everyone that we said was cold homered immediately. Freddie Freeman was 0-for. He was on the show. He homered. Giancarlo Stanton hit that fucking 800-foot grand slam, and then Ronald Acuna Jr. hit two home runs off of Max Scherzer in his first start of the season.
Yes.
But I was going to mention Pablo Sandoval.
Pablito!
Yeah.
Goes deep. You did see that, huh?
I did.
Did you tweet about it?
No, I wasn't watching the game live, so I didn't.
Oh, did you see the video? You saw the video, though, right? Because you're usually really good about catching those videos and tweeting those out right after, even if you don't see them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I didn't see that tweet.
Yeah, no, I didn't want to, like, I had just tweeted out something else had just happened, and I'm like, I'm not trying to, like, flood people's feeds right now with, like, just, like, homer after homer type deal. But, yeah, I mean, it's very hard to miss. Like, whenever he hits a home run, I get tagged 1,000 times on Twitter and on Instagram. But I did see a statistic that was kind of interesting. It was interesting. So this is in 750 at-bats since being released by the Red Sox. 750 at-bats since being released in 2017. Pablo Sandoval has 31 homers, 111 RBI, 186 hits. In Rafael Devers' last 753 at-bats, 34 home runs, 119 RBI, 189 hits.
Damn, it feels like you guys had a player that could give you what you were getting right now.
No, because this is since 2017 versus just Devers' last 753 at-bats. I mean, Pablo was never going to compile those numbers. I mean, it took him 4 years to do one.
He just needed the opportunity, Jared. He needed to have a fan base that loved him.
Yeah, well, that was never going to be here.
No, it's okay. I mean, you guys paid for him, so that's okay. Like, he took your money, and I know that's what you're angry about. He came into Boston with open arms.
I was angry about his the things that he said, his attitude. Like, he slapped fans in the face with his quotes and his words. And his
slapped you in the face and took your money and peaced out.
My money.
Oh, your money.
I don't pay
you paid.
There.
Those chicken tenders you're paying for went right into Pablito's wallet.
I don't think so. I ain't paying for those.
That giant Dr. Pepper you're slamming or... Oh, yeah. What's the Fenway restaurant name?
I don't know. What, State Street Pavilion?
Yeah, State Street. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's all going to feeding Pablo.
I'm not worried about it.
All going to feeding Pablo.
Yankees got Rougned Odor. Why?
Left-handed.
Okay. They got Bruce.
Yeah, but Bruce can't hit twice in the same
lane. They need more lefties.
So they got Odor.
I mean, okay, so they get a 200
hit. That's it. What do you want me to tell you?
Okay, I mean,
there's nothing else. Like, what has Rougned Odor done that has told you that? Yeah, this is why they went and got him.
I don't. I just. It's
nothing.
It seems crowded. It seems crowded for me.
They need the threat. They need the pop. The
Yankees,
from the left side.
And like, this is going to sound like I'm hating on them, but the Yankees have done a lot of like, this guy used to be good 3-4 years ago. Let's bring him in here. That's what they've done with a lot of their additions in the last year.
Yeah. What kind of struck me is they optioned their reliever.
What,
Michael
King? Yeah.
Like, throwing the ball really well. I didn't understand.
Yeah, you got to make room for Rougned Odor. Just have to do it.
Yeah, Rougned Odor. I don't know, man. That's it. Lefty pop. That's all I got, Jared. There's no other. There's nothing. There's nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing. Hey, what were you wearing the other day?
What, the mizzen in Maine?
When you went to the office.
Yeah.
When you made your debut in the office again.
Yeah. Because I definitely need to do that.
Yeah.
Got to go back to the office so that I can do my podcast with my co-host that lives in California. And my other podcast with my co-host that live where I live in Boston.
Well, hey, if you get to that office, can you make sure and pick up the two signs for our podcast that we got there in year five for the first time?
Yeah. Yeah, I was supposed to receive those, never did. So yeah, I'll just go. Maybe that's what I'll do in New York. I got to be able to do something. I mean, there has to be some sort of task I can perform while I'm there. But the pandemic got us all used to dressing comfortably. Mizzen in Maine keeps that work from home comfort in a work from home look. Actually, they were very generous and sent a number of items. They actually sent like the most Jared shirt ever. Like, it's like a Henley, but it's also a hoodie. It's very comfortable, fits great. I've got they sent a gray. I love gray. Obviously, I like to wear black pants, and nothing matches better with black jeans than a nice little gray pullover. That one fits amazing too. And then they've got a lot of like button downs that are very nice. They've got the button downs that they sent, wide variety, and I think. I mean, obviously, as you know, Dallas, I'm a little huge right now. So I think the fit is very important to me when you start talking about, is this going to be baggy on me? Is it going to be too tight? Like the fit's perfect. And that's what really matters when you're talking about comfort.
Because it hugs you.
Yeah. Being comfortable doesn't mean sweatpants. Mizzen and Main uses performance fabrics combined with modern tailoring, meaning you look your best and don't even notice that you're wearing a dress shirt. I notice. I mean, me personally, I do notice when I'm wearing a dress shirt because I usually am wearing like hoodies and stuff. So if I'm wearing a dress shirt, like I you feel different. You do. That's kind of like an old saying. If you look the part, you feel good, you play good. You look good, you play good. So I mean, at Dallas, I don't know that you've ever like looked great.
Oh, phenomenal. I've looked phenomenal. Are you kidding me?
I don't know if that's actually true. Did you guys have to wear like suits when you traveled?
Oh, buddy, you don't. So crispy.
Really?
So crispy.
Do you have any pictures?
I do.
I'm going to need to see like Road Dallas.
Oh, but Road DB is a fucking treat.
Yeah.
A treat.
Yeah. So Mizzen and Main dress shirts are packed with performance. Four-way stretch for maximum comfort and flexibility. Moisture wicking so you don't have to sweat it. Wrinkle resistance so you don't look like a slob, which is huge for me because I guess I own an iron, but like I've never used it ever.
Don't know how to turn it on.
Yeah, machine washable because why go to the dry cleaner? Lightweight and breathable means you can wear the shirt. The shirt doesn't wear you. Again, they've got a wide variety too. I mean, yes, like the dress shirts are the bread and butter, but it's not just the dress shirts. Like I love that.
So you got a nice care package?
Yes.
So that just absolutely confirms for me that the shit that gets sent to the office for me with my name on it gets opened up and rifled through and distributed amongst all those goddamn savages in that office. That's exactly what that confirms for me.
Well, no, I don't.
Because if you're getting anything from sponsors, I haven't gotten a goddamn thing, and I can't tell you how long.
Interesting.
Not interesting. Not surprising either.
Every day feels like casual Friday in Mizzen and Main. Don't show up in a t-shirt now that you've got a vaccine on your Tinder date. Ooh, do better. Do better. If these shirts existed when I worked corporate, my life might have looked different. They're so comfortable. These shirts are moisture wicking, lightweight, and breathable, making them the best choice for hot weather. So head on over to mizzenandmain.com and use the promo code STARTING to get $10 off your first order. That is MIZZENANDMAIN.com. Promo code STARTING to get $10 off your first order. You want to do some listener questions and then get the fuck out of here?
Sure do. Going to get tested.
For what, STDs?
A little COVID test. I got a little surprise. Let's just say your boy DB might be on a game show near you here very, very, very soon. Mm.
Do I need cable?
I think you're going to need cable.
Okay.
Yes,
I have cable.
It is a cable-y televised program.
Okay. So this is like a big deal.
This is a big deal.
Yeah. Are there others involved in this or
what's that?
Are there others involved? Are you going to be on like Legends of the Hidden Temple?
I am going to be on a team.
Hmm.
This will be a team. It is a team game.
Okay.
Yeah.
So,
I don't know the
you know, global guts.
I've already reached out in terms of like legally what I can say and what I can't say.
Right.
And I haven't gotten a response yet. So
yeah.
Legally, just know that I'm going on a show where I am a team member with other team members, and it's gonna be great. It's gonna be fun. Hmm.
So you,
we're going against other teams.
You'll be on Survivor.
Oh man, that's what they needed. They needed me in Barstool Survivor to just fucking run roughshod through all of those.
I don't think they would have known how to handle you.
Well, that's the point.
Yeah,
that's the point. They would have had no fucking clue.
Season
no
two,
clue whatsoever.
Season two, what's Dallas that? Braden Barstool Survivor. I think that you would get voted off first because they wouldn't know how to handle you.
Yeah, they would just go, "We don't know this guy. Got to get rid of him."
They'd be like, "But
that's the biggest
we're
mistake
afraid
is
of
because
you
need that guy on your team."
Yeah.
And that's where I would just call each and every one of them out. Oh, you're just a soft ass bitch who's afraid and doesn't know how to. Okay, I got it. Yeah, no, I for sure. I used to be afraid of the dark too.
Yeah. White Sox Dave getting voted off first was one of the funniest things ever. And like Nick being like, "Oh no, everyone knew. Everyone."
Yeah.
You had to be an idiot to not know who is getting voted off.
God bless Dave. Do we got questions?
Yeah, we got questions. Are the A's going to be relegated to AAA?
Quite possibly. Mm. And at this point, I have no argument against it, aside from it's early and it's just the first turn through the rotation. But if we're being honest, you can't be 28th, 29th, and 30th in like team ERA, team OBP, team average, and shit like that, and expect to not have those conversations surround you early on. This is what I said about the A's losing streak, Jared. If this happens in June or July, not that big of a deal. You're not scoffing at it the same way you are when you start the season winless.
Yeah.
Especially giving up 8-plus runs a game.
Yeah, that's bad.
Not scoring anywhere near that. So when that happens to start a season, I can understand why some alarms go off.
No doubt. Yeah, I'd just like to highlight one more time that you are a Red Sox re-signing of Mitch Moreland away from having a defeated season.
Well, and if it wasn't, again, for Oakland, amongst other organizations, being a safe landing spot for players that have finally been able to cut the ties from that ballpark out on the East Coast, he wouldn't have the opportunity to be the hero he is going to become in Oakland. So that's just Oakland doing a great job of opening her arms and welcoming in a hero waiting to be celebrated. Welcome, Mitch. It's good to have
a hero waiting to be celebrated. What are your real expectations for the Kansas City Royals? Not your fake ones, your real ones. They're a fourth place team. They're a fourth place team that is going to be exciting to watch for a multitude of reasons. I said it before the season started. I love the lineup. I think it's gonna be fun to watch them hit. I don't think it's gonna be fun to try and watch them get outs. But I think that they realistically, do you think that the Royals could flirt with 500 this year?
I mean, I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility.
No, I don't think it is either. I think that they can flirt with 500, and I think that that's a realistic expectation. I don't know that that's what you love to hear as a Royals fan. I mean, I would rather flirt with 500 than fucking dog shit.
What you want is you want some guys to take some steps. That's what you need. You need Brad Keller to take another step. You need, what's the other young fella's name? Singer?
Brady Singer.
Need him to take some steps. Those are the things that can help get you to and plus 500, because I think those two, and this isn't anything like a personal attack or a personal finger point at either one of those guys. Those are, and look, you can say this really about some of the veterans in that rotation, like Mike Minor, same thing, Danny Duffy, same thing. What are we going to get out of those two lefties? Well, we need those guys to perform and not be like withering veterans. We need those guys to be productive and impactful, because if they are, and each one of those dudes I just mentioned, which obviously rounds out the rotation, performs, then you've got a shot. But that's why you pointed out astutely, don't know how exciting it is going to be to watch them try to get outs compared to them watching hit.
Yeah,
that's going to be fun to watch them hit.
Yeah, it's gonna be fun to watch them hit. They've got a nice little lineup that's it's lengthy. They've won three out of their first five to start the season. I just kind of, you look at that division, and it's going to be the Twins. It's going to be the White Sox, even though the White Sox they're 3-4 to start the year. It's early. It's early as shit. So, but again, you made a bad pick with the division. Not showing the respect that the Twins deserve in the AL Central was a misstep by you, and that I will ultimately be correct there, Dallas.
We'll see.
We will see about that. Are we even right now for the Goldie Arenado home run race?
Yes, I believe so.
I think it's just 1-1, right?
1-1, yeah.
Yeah.
That's it.
I'm excited. I'm excited to see where that goes. It's going to be a wild summer. A lot of people are going to be talking about that. When will you guys add starting nine hoodies to the store that are not short sleeve? I don't know. Tomorrow? Can we do that?
Yeah, you want one? You want one with no sleeves? Or you want one with sleeves? Done. Here comes one with sleeves.
All right, done. Better shot to win their division, the Angels or the Phillies? Better shot to win their division, the Angels or the Phillies? I'm going to go right ahead and say that the Phillies have the best chance to win because I think the Astros are just that much better than everyone else in their division, whereas I think the AL East is, I mean, you've got the Braves, you got the Mets, you got the Nats, and you got the Phils, and people forget the Marlins were a playoff team last year. I just feel like it's more of a, it's not necessarily that the Phillies are the clear-cut favorite in that division. I think it's a jump ball almost. One thing could go wrong for one team, and it opens the door for another team. Whereas in the West, the Astros are just that much better than everybody else. Like, let's be serious.
I think the Phillies is probably a safer bet.
Yeah. So you acknowledge that the Astros are the best team in the AL West and it's not close?
No, that's why I said I don't need to discuss any more about
like
that.
It's not even close.
It's not a discussion I need to get into at this point in time.
Like the gap between the Astros and the next best team has to be...
Well, it's just not something we're going to address right now. Is really
exponentially
kind of
large. Like, it's one of those gaps where it's like if you fell from the gap between the Astros and the
later,
next team, you would definitely die.
It's not something we have to
super dangerous.
Now. We can clarify that.
Like, there should be a guardrail
later.
There to protect all the people
topic we have to
that could
out
fall from that distance.
Right now.
But other than that...
Yeah, I'd agree.
Yeah. So, all right, we'll be back next week. With an interview, maybe?
Possibly.
Yeah. I've been talking about potentially getting an interview with a player that was spoken about very highly on this particular episode.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. It would be a first time starting nine guest.
A tickler?
It's let's just say it'd be very timely.
I don't know. I got nothing.
Hmm.
Well, maybe we'll have to find out.
Maybe we'll fucking find out next week, Dallas. Why not?
All right.
Maybe my face. Maybe I'll be able to feel my fucking face next week.
Yeah. Stay tuned. You battled through today, bud. Very proud.
I mean, like
of you.
My speech has improved over the course of the episode, but like I still can't feel my chin or my right here. I still can't feel my lip.
It's a funny feeling. Your chin feels fuzzy.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Good talk.
Great talk.